Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday is graduation day for our high school seniors. We'll honor them with special gifts and a special worship service. They have been a great group the last 4 years. They've been an example of faith to their peers and everyone at our church. We'll be in Isaiah 55 this morning to encourage our seniors to make sure they don't let the things of the world replace the things of God in their lives. Isaiah 55:2 says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." I know many times when Betty and I go out to eat at a nice place, I'll be so hungry that I'll fill myself up on the appetizers, salad and rolls, and so when the main meal comes, I don't have room to finish all of it. It just doesn't taste the same the day after we heat it up in the microwave. That is what God is telling His faithful people. Don't let the temptations of the world fill you up so you don't have no room for God in your lives. He tells us three things in Isaiah 55 that will keep us close to God. Come, listen, and seek Him. We have to make every day for God so we get filled up on the right nourishment. The best part of all is it is free of charge. Look at the end of Isaiah 55:1. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. All God wants is us, our hearts, our minds, and our strength. Hope to see you Sunday. May God bless you with the beauty of His creation and His presence this week. Thank you for listening.
God, distant and yet near, we gather as witnesses to your promise that if we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you. Be among us this day. Hear the confessions of our mouths and the yearnings of our hearts. Help us change the narrowness of our vision and the pettiness of our living. Make us new again with your holy grace. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.
Our senior high puppeteers have children's time.
Today is Mother's Day. We are celebrating all that she does. Have you ever thought about the hats that she wears? No, not the ones you can see, but the role she plays. First, she's your mom. So when she fixes lunch for you, she wears a chef hat. When she takes you somewhere, she's an Uber driver. When she takes care of your cuts and burns, she's a nurse. When she listens to your problems, she's a psychologist. The list goes on and on.
In our Bible lesson today, we hear a lady who doesn't have any children, but really wants one. Her name is Hannah. Her story is in 1 Samuel. For years, she has prayed for a son. When she went to the temple on one occasion, she prayed so hard that she was crying. The priest told her that he hoped that God would hear her prayer.
Soon after that, God did hear her prayer and granted her wish for a son. Hannah had promised that she would give her son back to God to serve him when Samuel was old enough. Hannah brought him back to the temple, and Samuel served him for the rest of his life. Your mom wants the best for you. Please give her a big hug when you go back to your seats. Happy Mother's Day.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for our moms who do so much for us. Thank you for her guidance throughout our lives. Thank you that we are not too small to know you as our God. You created us and want the very best for our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our children's choir, God's Singers, sings I Love You, Lord. Reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's Mother's Day sermon, A Woman of Noble Character.
The first lesson is found in 1 Samuel, reading from the first chapter, verses 24 through 28. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slew the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I made to him. The second lesson is found in 2 Timothy, reading verses from chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as did my fathers, when I remember you constantly in my prayers. As I remember your tears, I long night and day to see you, that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you. Hence, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control.
Thank you, Carol. Happy Mother's Day again to everyone here today, and I also feel the loss of those that have been posting about their mothers. It's something that you can't replace, but it's hopefully something the memories and the lessons learned you can share with those around you this morning. It's a hard sermon for me. You know, three daughters in the household and married for almost 35 years now. I'm not the most knowledgeable person about women and different things. You think I would have learned something over these last 35 years. It took me 20 years to figure out that Betty was always right. And once I figured that out, our marriage has been just a blessing for the last 15 years. But there's some things that we get through life. There are some things that we don't want to hear as a mother. I listed 10 of them out at Salem, and one of the ladies came through and said, Russ, I've got an 11th. And I said, yes, I agree with that one totally. The first one they have listed here that you don't want to hear as a mother is that I swallowed a goldfish or any other living animal or fish. Number two, your lipstick works better than crayons. Don't want to know what that was for. The one that we've had in our household too, the reason we didn't have nice furniture until after the kids got much older, does grape juice leave a stain? That's something you don't want to hear as a mother. One that didn't happen in our household maybe once or twice, the principal called, ... all right? This one for dads, but dad says that word all the time. Number six, what's it cost to fix a window? Has anyone seen my earthworms? I painted your shoes really pretty, huh, Mommy? The dog doesn't like dressing up in your clothes. And then one, as they get older, I'm moving out. Well, maybe some days we like to hear that phrase that they are moving out and not coming back. But as we were walking out, one of the ladies stopped me and she said, there's another one, Russ, that you need to add. And I said, I understand completely. She says, you get a phone call and it says, Mom, there's been an accident, but I'm okay. I've had that call before from all my daughters, and then one where I got a call from the nurse at the hospital where the daughter could not make the call. And so those are some things that we don't want to hear. But our young children, sometimes they write down things that they want to do for Mother's Day. And Angie wrote, she's 8-year-old, Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn. Robert wrote, I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle better than the snake I got you last year. I hope so too. Eileen wrote, Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school. I like that way of thinking. Little Diane wrote, I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith wasn't looking. And then finally, how about this one from Carol? Dear Mother, here are two aspirin. Have a happy Mother's Day. Maybe that's the way that your Mother's Day is going to go. But we're going to be in Proverbs 31 this morning. We're going to be looking at this section of Scripture where it gives characteristics of the lady, of all the ladies in Solomon's life. And Solomon was exposed to a lot of different ladies in his life. And he had all these different women that he met. He writes this chapter here about what was most appealing to him and what's most appealing to God himself. And we see that Jesus' last thoughts on the cross were about his mother. One of the last conversations he had, he looked at John and said, John, here's your mom, and you know, Mom, here's your son, because he was concerned about her. But we know also Mother's Day is not the happiest day for everyone. It can be someone that maybe did not have children or was not married or was not blessed to be, you know, have a big family themselves. I think about my Aunt Barbara. I probably will talk to her today. She'll probably call my wife and wish her a happy Mother's Day. She's already sent her a card. My aunt has lived in Dallas, Texas for over 50 years. She's been there since the beginning of my life. I talk to her probably about once a month and visit with her. But she never married and never had children. But she's one of the strongest Christian examples of faith that I know. And every time that we visit, at the end of the phone call, she will say, yeah, I pray for you every day. And she says, I love you. And I said, I love you too, Aunt Barbara. And so that's the way that we always end our call. And she's made a huge influence on me, even though she didn't have children of her own. And she's taught Sunday school, young children's Sunday school, for most of her life. I think of my good friend up in Jamestown, Hilda Shinthal, and her husband, Truman Shinthal. Never able to have children, but again, she taught Sunday school all the years that she was there at the church in Jamestown. And different times that I will visit with her, she will pull out a gift that she still has, and she refers to your brother this way, Ellen, as little Jesse Roback. She still has that gift, and she still remembers little Jesse Roback in her class. I think about Anna the prophetess. in the story in chapter 2 of Luke when Jesus is born and brought to the temple. A lady that had been married and had lost her husband had spent the rest of her life looking forward to Messiah and worshiping in the temple. And when she saw finally that little one brought in, she held her with her hand. She was overjoyed because that she finally got to see a life of dedication fulfilled in seeing God's Son, the Messiah. And I think about my friend Benita Bond. Benita lives down in the Joplin area. She's taking care of her mother now in her later years. She taught school for over 35 years, has taught Sunday school, never married and never had children of her own, but she decided to foster children. And she fostered 2 children, and because of that, now she has grandchildren, because these 2 children, no other mother but her. And she chose to make that influence in her life, although she was not able to ever be married or have children of her own. And so if there's a hole in your heart today because of that pain or that empty longing, we see that Jesus can fill that hole himself. We see that when he comes across the lady that was at the well. And she was living, had been married 5 times and was living with someone else. We don't have any mention of children, anyone there to brighten her day. She was just going through the monotony of life. But we see Jesus gives her value, gives her worth, gives her love, gives her acceptance. And he does the same things to us today. And so when we look here in Proverbs chapter 31, and we look at this passage here this morning, we're going to see how we are to treat a lady of noble character and what kind of characteristics that we're looking for. So if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 31, and I've used this chapter different times when I've done sermons for ladies, funeral messages for ladies where it's appropriate. But we start with verse 10. It says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and she grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." And that's what we are doing this morning. Sometimes our ladies are given the impression that unless you're a mother and as a holy and spiritual as Mary, the mother of Jesus, or at least Susanna Wesley, then they're just not quite cutting in the eyes of God. But that's not true, ladies. Whether or not you're a mother, God has a special place for you in his heart. And if I was to ask the guys this morning, how would people think of your wife by the ways that you speak about her in public? How would they judge her by the things that you say about her? Would they think well of her? Would they know you love and respect her? When we look at this scripture here, we see how we are to treat ladies of godliness and nobleness and good character. Number one, it says that we have full confidence in her. I know early on in our marriage, it's hard to find that equilibrium. I mean, you know, who makes what decisions? I remember the first week of our marriage, I'm sure Betty was questioning her decision. Our first fight was over pork and beans, of all things. I grew up in a family where pork and beans was a staple of any meal. If you didn't know what to serve, pork and beans, hot or cold, went very well. If you want to throw a little brown sugar in there, that was even better. We had a meal there at the house, and there was no pork and beans in the cupboard. and there was no pork and beans on the table. And for some reason, that upset me. But over those years, as we've gone through it, I've gone to learn to trust Betty with whatever she needs, whatever decisions she needs to make concerning the household. One of the bits of the wisdom that I give young couples when they're planning on getting married, you know, come to an agreement on your budget and how you spend your finances. You can eliminate a ton of stress if you can eliminate financial stress in your marriage. And over the years, Betty has reminded me, and I've grown to appreciate, how much she has saved our family by the coupons that she has cut out, by the Aldi's that she's attended to, or the other places, discount places, or to get the best deals, or maybe not do with the best, but do with the kind of generic brand. And I've learned to trust her through all of those things because I have full confidence in her. And as a husband, sometimes it's easy for us maybe to look over their shoulder and try to encourage them in certain decisions. But over that time, I've learned to appreciate the decision-making that she has. And usually, it's a lot more wise. And I'm a little bit more impulsive than what she is. But then we also see in here that we are to be proud of her. And we are to praise our ladies in our lives. That we are to do that in front of people. And I think that's important to do. That people hear us say words of praise and encouragement to those around us about the special ladies in our lives. I could go on and on about different things that Betty does in our marriage, in our family's life, and throughout just all the years that we've been together. And I saw one of them just last week, and we would call our kitchen at the household when the kids were little Betty's Cafe, because it didn't matter if you one wanted this and one wanted this. Somehow Betty could put all that together and get it done in 10 or 15 minutes. When we get home from church, she'll either have something in the crock pot or something will be ready in 15 or 20 minutes. She's one of the quickest cooks and best cooks that I've seen. Last weekend, our grandkids were with us for that real sweet window of about 4 hours. Not enough to overwhelm you, not enough to, you know, just wipe you out, but just that enough to know that they've been there, that they've made their impact, and now they're going home with mom and dad. And they were getting ready to leave the house, and Gannon said he was hungry. And usually this is kind of a chore with him and his sister, Baylor. They're not always big on vegetables or meats. They kind of like, you know, the McDonald's and the Taco Bells. But when they come to our house, we're maybe a little bit firm than mom and dad are. And so he is sitting there, and Betty whipped up a turkey sandwich. She worked up a PB&J sandwich, and he just devoured it. And Baylor just devoured hers as well. And Carrie and Jeremiah looked on in just awe. How in the world is this possible? She says, every time we try to make them eat, it's a war of attrition between them. We have to barter with them to get them just to eat a few bites. And as Betty has told the grandkids, would Grandma ever make anything that you didn't like? Who can disagree with that logic on that? But we've got to find ways to praise our ladies in our life in public so people know how we value them and care about them. I praise Betty for the way that she can sew and hem and fix any type of dress. Having 3 daughters, we went to 10 proms in a row. I still have PTSD this time of year, all right? What that means is that we didn't have a new dress every year, but almost every year, except maybe a couple years. And they knew that their dad's budget was not going to be a very high budget, so Betty was going to have to do a lot of fixing and improving. And so she would work on those things diligent, even their friends get them all together, and she's an amazing seamstress, and she's even done it on their wedding dresses too. She'll get them all ready for that time. But one of the things that I praise Betty most for is her worship and her heart for God. We had been married about a year, and we came back to Southwest Missouri. My cousin Brad was getting ready to go to Italy for a year in the service. He was in the Air Force. And I wanted to go back and see him before he left. And it was Easter weekend. This is an important fact in this story. Easter weekend. All right? I did not grow up going to church every Sunday. It was not instilled in me as much as it was later in my life. But Betty went to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday night all the way through. And so we're here on Easter weekend. We were living in Cincinnati at the time. I wanted to get back to Cincinnati at a good hour. And I told her that, yes, we will go to church early, and then we'll leave and head home. Well, as the weekend went on, I kept looking at the schedule, and I finally I made a deal with her that we'll listen to church on the radio on the way home. This was not well received. And it was the last time that we ever missed church on a Sunday for a reason like that, because I see her heart for worship and her love for God each and every day. But then how also are we to treat her? Praise her, be proud of her, have full confidence in her. And then the one that's most vital is that we are to love them. We see in Ephesians chapter 5, it's a chapter that a lot of times people look at and they will kind of poo-poo it because it talks about wives' relationship with their husbands. But when you read this passage, they talk to the husbands three times as much as they do the ladies. Because, guys, we need to hear this message again and again and again. It starts with verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let that sink in again. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is more than just a superficial love of flowers and cards and nice words on one or two days a week. It's a sacrificial love. Not only do we praise her and lift her up and have confidence in her, but we're willing to give our lives for our special ladies, our mothers, and the ladies in our lives. And then you skip down to verse 25. It says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Three different times, he tells the wife, the husband, to love your wife, to give yourself for her, to be sacrificial in what you have in your lives for her. And so what kind of characteristics, ladies, that are we to pass on and show in our life? Number one, we see that a lady that has a good head on their shoulders, one that's not afraid to work, one that's out there to do the things necessary to provide for their family. As I've said earlier, I've seen Betty make lunches and sew and cut coupons and cook and clean, all these things for her family to be proud of and that, so that they were prepared. We also see that a lady that Solomon looked at and have encouragement for was one that shows compassion to her family and others. When you look in the book of Romans, the very last chapter, Paul will list lady after lady after lady in the church at Rome that worked hard for the Lord. In fact, he even says one of them was like a mother to him, ones that made sacrifices for their family and for their church family. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that one way to put our religion into practice is to take care of our mothers and our grandmothers when they need our assistance. But we also see in that last chapter, chapter 31, that he puts an emphasis on their relationship with God. We read the verses just a few moments ago that Carol read there, that we see there that Timothy's faith didn't come from just some magic thing that flew in and tapped him on the head. The faith that came from him had its genesis in his grandmother and his mother. And this is my encouragement to husbands and the males in this room today. When children have a mother that brings them to church, their faith has about a 50% chance to continue on. But when the husband and the wife both come to church, and church is important and that faith is important to them, that faith has a chance of 90% of continuing on when that children. And so it's more important that we do it together, and that unfortunately different times that the males are not the ones stepping up and encouraging their children like the females are. We see Jesus' mother, Mary, and it says that at the end of chapter 2 of Luke, that says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, because Joseph and Mary combined were working together to raise their children in a godly manner. And then we see in 1 Peter chapter 3 that the inner beauty that God is looking for is that spirit that's committed to God. And so this morning we honor our ladies. We honor them for the hard work that they put in, the sacrifice they put in, the love for others, and most importantly, the love that they have for God. We have a small token that we've been giving out, and if you've not picked one up, our ushers will be giving them out in the back. And as you walk through here this morning, it's just a small token. One person said it this way about the importance of his mom in their lives. Four ministers were talking about different translations of the Bible. I use the NIV. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked the contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent for a moment and then said, I like my mother's translations best. Surprised, the other three men said they didn't know his mother had translated the Bible. Yes, he replied, she translated it into life. And it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. You know, we can speak all the words that we want, but children catch what we do and how we act in our lives. And I'm thankful for the spiritual ladies that have been in my life that have made the eternal difference that they have. And I'm thankful for those same ladies in our congregation here and the ones that have gone on before them.